So many of you may be wondering where Nate is. I don't know. He is waiting, and since we are in a season of waiting and watching, I think the Bebouts are in a season of waiting, watching, and vacationing. We don't know. We're going to let you know what's going on with them as they continue to wait for this new baby that is coming. And lucky for Nate, he actually thought ahead, and he had someone guest preach this week and next week. So I'm very excited to introduce my friend Gino Haynes. He is a pastor at Radio. Come on up, Gino. And he, for those of you who don't know, Radio has been a missional partner of Park Streets for many years, and he has been a pastor at Radio for 5. And so he's going to share with us in word this morning, and I'm just really excited for what he has for us. So I'm going to pray for him, and then we're going to let him talk more because I'm done. Jesus, we thank you for Gino, and we just thank you for the man he's becoming in your image, and we just thank you for the word you've placed on his heart. We just ask that your presence would be here, Lord, and that we'd tune our hearts and our ears to you, and that you would just speak to us. Any defenses that we've brought in, Lord, just help those melt away. And just help us trust that your words are true and that your heart is good. Thank you for Gino and what he has for us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Kim. Appreciate you. Good morning, Park Street. How are you? Some of you are better than others. Okay. That's good. You look good. Real sharp looking and all that good stuff. I am a little bit tanner than the man that you are typically accustomed to seeing up here. I am a little bit tanner than any of the men that you are accustomed joking. Okay. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm excited to be here. It's an honor to be here. My wife and my daughter could not be here, though. Lucky for you, because my daughter is 3, but she's this tall, and she would have tore all of this up. So, no, but my big sister, Cynthia, is here today, so I appreciate her coming and supporting. We are in our 3rd week of Advent, right? And for me, it's always interesting. Advent is this interesting season in time, because when you talk to different people, they typically lean on one aspect of Advent. For some people, it's this commemorative time where we commemorate the birth of Jesus, some 2,000 odd years ago. For other people, it's this perpetual anticipation season, right? Where we are anticipating the future and a new future, or even the second coming of Jesus. And then there's other people that kind of are in the middle tension of this actively waiting sense, right? That we're waiting, but we're also supposed to be active and not on idle hands. If I'm honest, none of that is usually where my mind goes. None of that is really what I typically feel in this season. The last couple of years have been kind of tough. And honestly, for me, Advent falls within the two, what I like to call gathering holidays, right? Thanksgiving and Christmas. And anybody who knows me knows that I am a grandmama's boy at heart. My grandmother is basically the one who raised me. I lived under her roof for the majority of my life. She was the one that fed me most nights. She was my life coach, and she was my best friend, right? And in 2016, she passed away. Not only did she pass away in 2016, but there were 6 of her siblings, and not all of them passed in this time, but all of them except for one have all gone home to be with the Lord. And so for me, this time is really naturally grieving, because I have to experience those holidays without them. And it's a physical reminder that her physical presence isn't here anymore. But in 2016, when she passed away, I had the honor of giving her eulogy. And typical funerals, there's people that get up and they share and talk about their experiences and the different things that they encountered with her and those type of things. And I got up and kind of reflected on her life. But something that I said there that I felt like God kind of gave me a revelation in her death, I want to share with you today. As we all were sharing our stories, I got up there and I said, my grandmother didn't just live a life so that we could accumulate memories about her. But my grandmother lived a life in such a way that demanded a legacy. And there's a difference between memories and legacy. Memories, by definition and kind of by implication, are very self-serving in nature. That's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just self-serving, right? They're past experiences that we then try to resurrect for our own benefit and our own good. But legacy, by definition and implication, means that whatever I receive, I also carry. Even if it is for my own benefit, legacy implies that I must give it away in the same manner that it was given to me. And I share that story because I know probably for some people in here, you probably feel some of that same tension, some of that same grief, one. And then two, when we talk about the Holy Spirit and we talk about the essence of who he is, I think part of the essence of who he is this thing of legacy, right? When we look at the totality of scripture and we look at the historical account of divinity and humanity through the lens of scripture, it is the Holy Spirit, in my opinion, that kind of knits it all together, right? In Genesis 1, verse 2, when the earth is void, the Holy Spirit is the one that is hovering over the waters. It is the Holy Spirit, the Ruach, the breath of God that is breathed into Adam. It is the Spirit of God that comes upon Noah and David and Samson to convict and to enlighten and to build, all for the purpose of salvation, whether that be from a flood or whether that be the reconciliation or the restoration of God's people to himself. And it's like the Holy Spirit who conceives Jesus, right? It's the Holy Spirit that is poured out on all flesh in Acts. And so it's this Holy Spirit person that is kind of knitting all of this together. And so when we are going to look at a couple of passages today, tell a couple of stories, and hopefully I can speak to your hearts. It is on my agenda to speak to your hearts more than to tickle your intellect today. I want to hopefully comfort some people, hopefully challenge some people, and really, by the grace of God, communicate God's word well. And so our first passage is kind of the staple passage of this Advent series that you guys have been in, and it's Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It reads like this. It says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." I love that because it implies that the son already existed before the child was born, right? And it says the government will be on his shoulders and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We believe that it is the Holy Spirit that is guiding the pen and the words of Isaiah that later Jesus would actually embody, right? That he would actually be this wonderful counselor, that the government, the kingdom of God would rest on his shoulders, that he would be divinity and mighty God, but he would also be called the Prince of Peace. And then we fast forward another 450, maybe even 500 some odd years, and we pick up in John chapter 14, verse 16 through 24. And this is Jesus speaking to his disciples, and he says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper." That word helper, some version says advocate, but basically it is the Greek equivalent of what Isaiah uses in counselor. But it could be translated as comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby, to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive and take to its heart, because it does not see him or know him, but you know him, because he, the Holy Spirit, remains with you continually and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, comfortless, bereaved, and helpless. I will come back to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also. On that day, when that time comes, you will know for yourselves that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. The person who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who really loves me. And whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him. I will make myself real to him." Judas, not Iscariot, asked him, "Lord, what has happened that you are going to reveal yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered, "If anyone really loves me, he will keep my word, my teachings, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling place with him. One who does not really love me does not keep my words, and the word teaching which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me." So we look at these two passages kind of in connection with one another. We have Isaiah being led by the Spirit, the words of Isaiah being led by the Spirit, Jesus embodying those words, and now we see the passing of the torch, so to speak, to us, to the disciples. Jesus is preparing the disciples and saying, listen, the same characteristics, the same Spirit, right, that I embody is going to be given to you as well. And it is the counselor that is promised in Isaiah that is being embodied and promised, embodied into Jesus, and now is being promised to us. We live in this New Testament extended period of time where we live in the era of the Holy Spirit, right? Right? Like, if you look at the scriptures throughout, there is, I think Nate did a beautiful job of walking us through the evidence of the Trinity all throughout. But it does look like in certain periods, one person of the Trinity is actually getting some of the spotlight more than the others, right? In the First Testament, we could argue that the Father is kind of the highlighted one, right? In the Gospels, we could say that Jesus is kind of the highlighted one. And in the New Testament, the rest of the New Testament, and the New Testament extended period of where we are, we experience Jesus, we experience the Father through evidence of the Holy Spirit, right? And so this Holy Spirit has been given to us for a couple of things. So I made up a word. Somebody told me at the first service that it takes a smart man to articulate big words, but it takes a genius to make them up. Come on, somebody. And the word that I made up is advental. Advental. And so I want to look at three advental roles of the Holy Spirit as we wait in this tension of observing the Holy Spirit and observing Advent. No rule or advent, or what did I say? Advental role number one. There we go. Carry on the legacy of God. To carry on the legacy of God. The truth exists that yes, we do observe Advent. Yes, we wait. Yes, we anticipate, but we anticipate and we wait differently. Because we possess a Holy Spirit. There's a Holy Spirit that dwells with us that didn't get to dwell with Isaiah. There's a Holy Spirit that dwells with us that the disciples in this time of the passage didn't have. So though we observe those things, we observe and we wait differently because we possess the Holy Spirit. And there should be a tension in us. There should be a tension in us that we wait and we anticipate for new expressions of the kingdom of God to be birthed into our world. But also we should be charged because there is a Holy Spirit in us that has been charged to birth those things into our world as well. And so some of the love that we need in our world should be through our hugs. Some of the love that we should experience through our time should be through our hands, right? Some of the love and the deficits of our world should be through our pockets. Moving on. Okay. But we have been charged to carry on the characteristics, the very characteristics of Isaiah when he speaks. We are charged to carry on the characteristics of God's government, his kingdom of God. We are charged to carry on the characteristics of God's counsel, of his divinity, and also his legacy of peace. We are called to be peacemakers. I love that. Peacemakers. Peacemakers is different than peacekeepers. Peacekeepers avoid the issue. Peacemakers address the issue. They acknowledge those issues so that then there can be reconciliation, there can be restoration. But there can't be any reconciliation, there can't be any restoration until we actually acknowledge the thing that has been done or the things that have been done. In verse 21, he says, the person who has my commandments and keeps them is the person that really, really loves me. And that person who really, really loves me, my Father will love them, and I will reveal myself to him. It says, I will make myself real to him. We live in an era and a time and in a place where there is a high emphasis on intellect, right? And I don't think that that's a bad thing. I think that that's actually a godly characteristic and a godly thing. But we oftentimes can fall into the trap of our intellectualism and miss the relational capital that God has available for us. And that sometimes our ability to accept objective truth, objective to me and objective to you, will dictate how real God is to us. Not how much we know about him, but how real relationally he is to us, which leads me to advental role number two, counsel. Counsel. With a little caveat, right? Counsel, however, counseling from the counselor is only as good as its application. Counseling from the counselor is only as good as its application. When you go to a counselor, the counselor does not fix you, right? The counselor does not fix the situation, but the counselor gives you a perspective, and also the counselor typically gives you some tools to then be able to take into your situation, and hopefully through the application of those things, things change, right? But if we don't have the ability to maintain those perspectives or to use those tools, it will constantly leave us without help, right? The very thing, the very characteristic of the thing that Jesus is saying is available to us, the helper. If we don't actually take his applications, if we don't actually take the tools that he has given us and utilize those things, it will always leave us without help. Doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit isn't in us, but it will leave us without help. Verse 25, he says, I have told you these things while I'm still with you, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, he will teach you about all things. I love that. Not some things, not trivial things, not church things, not brotherly things, not family things, but all things. And the context in which he says that is not just an academic knowledge, but is actually this knowledge that translates from academic to experiential. And experiential is the same type of knowing that Paul uses later when he throws all of his accolades out and he says, I count them all as rubbish that I might know in this intimate, experiential way, Christ, right? And so this Holy Spirit that we talk about will teach us about all things in a way that's not just academic, but also experiential. But he says, not only that, but he will also bring to memory the counseling and the advice that I've given you through my word. All aspects of that word, the outer word of Scripture, the living word of Jesus, but also the inner word of his Holy Spirit. Which leads me to my last point, advental role number three, remembering the future. Remembering the future, that this Holy Spirit will cause us to reflect and remember the first adventers, to reflect and remember everything in the history of what we, you know, have observed through Scripture, but that would also inspire us to act now, right? It would inspire us to act now, but it would also cause us to long for a future that does not exist yet, right? That we should live within this tension. There's this word, you know, anticipation, right? By definition means this. It says, anticipation is expectation or hope, foreknowledge or prescience. Now, if you're like me and you didn't know what prescience is, let me tell you, right? Prescience Science, by definition, is the systemic knowledge of the physical or material world gained through observation and experimentation. Observation and experimentation. But pre-science is the knowledge of things before they exist or happen. It is a foreknowledge or foresight. Jesus has given us foresight. Jesus and the scriptures and God's history with humanity has given us foresight and foreknowledge in which we are supposed to live by. And we can fall into the temptation, especially today when we are overexposed to all different types of media outlets and different things like that, that we can fall into the trap of going off of what we see and not of what we know, right? Going off of CNN and not going off of what we know. Going off of Fox News and not going off of what we know, right? And we have to make sure that we don't fall into the trap of just going off of what things appear to be, but that we have spiritual eyes to be able to see what's spiritually underneath. And the only way that we can do that is by the person of the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us. And so in closing, this Advent season, may we not quench God's voice. May we not quench what the Holy Spirit has to say and wants to do through us in this season. Let us not be caught in a place of perpetual idle waiting, but that we would be active waiters, that we would be moved to action, that though we observe Advent in the classical sense, that we would also be inspired to move and to act now. And so, Father, I just pray for your people. I pray that through your Holy Spirit, that you would speak to each heart, whatever manner it is necessary, to bring about the change in perspective, in posture, whatever it is that you are trying to do in this season. Lord, we love you. Pray all these things in your mighty precious name. Amen.
Thank you so much, Gino. Thanks for your time, for your passion. Cynthia, thanks for coming as well, taking your time to support your little brother. Thank you. Could we stand? I noted one of the verses that Gino mentioned there, John 14:17. It says here, he is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. There's one thing that sets us apart. It is that we look for the Holy Spirit and we recognize it. And we are a logical, rational bunch of people to work things out on our own, who are self-sufficient, and all the time, I think the Holy Spirit's saying, hey, I'm here. And I sense this season that a lot of us are kind of struggling. We're kind of writhing in the pain of trying to figure things out in our heads. And the Holy Spirit is saying, take a second here. Remember that I'm here. I'm present. So let's make this song a prayer, both of reality, but also a prayer that we recognize the Holy Spirit here in our presence and that we open ourselves to allow him to work.
When I think about my grandmother's life and the things that I miss about her, I recognize that all of the attributes that I would say are actually attributes of God. And I recognize that God lent her his attributes so that I could benefit from them. And now I have a little girl. She's not little, but she's a girl. And it's interesting. As my grandmother's life dwindled, the same year she was born, And because of that, my daughter hasn't had the pleasure of meeting my grandmother. But my daughter has the pleasure of meeting my grandmother through me, because I now carry the characteristics and the nature of my grandmother, and she gets exposed to that. Church, we have an obligation, because there is a world that exists outside of us that doesn't have the pleasure of knowing our daddy. But our daddy has entrusted us with his characteristics and his nature, so that when they see you, they see him. We carry the legacy of God through the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us. The government, though it's still on his shoulders exist inside of you. Let us carry his legacy well. Lord, we love you. Help us to carry a legacy well. Help us to wrestle with what it is that you want us to wrestle with, so that we might show this world your nature through us. We love you. Pray all these things in your mighty precious name. And everybody said, amen.